Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home, and we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we're continuing our conversation with Donna Marie Cooper Boyle, and she's the author of a beautiful book called Our Life, Our Sweetness, and Our Hope. It's a Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary. And this beautiful book is available at ewtnrc.com. Well, I just want to tell a quick story on us. You know, we're getting ready for Pentecost, and you know, you and I had radical conversions. Jim and Joy were going to hell in a New York minute. And then Jesus intervened and saved us.
You didn't tell me you were going to say
that. He saved us from us. He really did. And we were young, and we fell madly in love with Jesus. And it's over 50-something years, and we haven't gotten over him yet. We love Jesus.
Amen.
And so when the priest, there was an Episcopal priest, and he was praying for us, and then he asked us if we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, we were straight from the street, and I didn't know what that was. And I was like, well, look, if it's more of Jesus, then I want it. And so that night, in the little Episcopal church in North Bergen, New Jersey, he prayed over us, and we had to renounce, like, a whole lot of things. And I was guilty of a lot of those things. And so I was like, yes, yes. And the priest was like looking at me like, who are you, lady? But I got saved. I got saved from something. And then there was evidence. The lights came on in my life. And I say that to you, whether you're walking with Jesus one day, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, there's always more of him. And the journey always is more of Jesus and less of you. So prepare your hearts for this Pentecost, because it's the greatest journey of your life, and you want more of Jesus.
And you might want to say, Mary, I want to spend this Pentecost with you, and lead me to the fullness of your Son, you who are the mother of hope. I need hope.
Mm.
Our life, our sweetness, and our hope, Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we have Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us today. You could go out to her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. Now, yesterday, Donna was sharing that she does speaking engagements. She's written many, many books. And so you could go out to the website, get in touch with her. Perhaps there's a topic that interests you and you might want to have her come speak to your parish family. Well, Donna, on this new beautiful book, in this Jubilee Year of Hope that we are in, and Mary is coming up ever alongside us to aid us and assist us in so many ways.
Yes.
We want you to tell our family a quick summary about the book and the format, you know, so the people can kind of go, okay, I could find that in there, or I could do it by myself, or I could do it with a group.
Right. Well, thank you for asking. So, yes, so I wrote it because, you know, to give us that hope from Mary during this Jubilee Year of Hope and beyond. And I started the first four chapters, solid history, solid Mary's life, you know. And I encourage the readers to, you know, read those in a row if they can. You can skip around the other chapters if you want, but get that solid background on Mary. And then I move into some of the approved Marian apparitions. I weave stories, compelling stories about Mary in here, and personal experiences. And in each chapter, you know, I have, at the end of every chapter, I have a section called ACT, A-C-T. You know, what they can do, what I suggest, what they can do. Then pray, special prayers. And I have savor and some lines in the mm-hmm. book so they can, you know, when they're praying or they're at adoration or after reading that chapter, they might think of something they want to remember later, some inspiration from the yeah. Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Mother Mary nudging them to do something. Whatever it may be, it's their book, it's their journal. So I have that. And when they run out of space, they can take a notebook alongside the book. So, and then I wind up, you know, ending the book with a personal story. I mentioned the other day we were together about a personal pilgrimage of hope of my own that happened and when I was writing the book. And then I end the book with a whole bunch of amazing Marian prayers. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. So I encourage people to take advantage of those prayers there.
Beautiful.
Well, you didn't mention that you do teach about Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal.
Yes.
So you didn't bring that up here.
Right.
Maybe some of us aren't really all that familiar with that devotion or what is that about.
Right. So. Thank you for asking, yeah. Jim. Well, I have a whole chapter in this book on the Miraculous Medal, and I wrote an entire book on the Miraculous Medal called The Miraculous Medal, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions, because after a while, the experiences that I had, a publisher asked me, could you just write a book about this? So I rich history about how it happened, Our Lady appearing at Rue de Bac, Paris, France, to a young novice, Catherine Labouré, and she gave her, I showed this the other day, Mother Teresa gave this to me, a miraculous medal, it broke, so I put it in here. But Mary actually designed the miraculous medal when she appeared to St. Catherine Labouré. So she had this vision of the oval shape and it turned around and every detail. So it was supposed to be called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but when it was handed out eventually, there's a lot of story, history to this, but we can't get into everything. But so when it finally was made, and every time they handed it out, they'd say, here, take this, it's miraculous. Here, take this, it's miraculous. So it took on the name of the Miraculous Medal. Wow. And people, oh my gosh, transformations, conversions, stubborn atheists on their deathbed, the sisters would put a medal under their pillow and they'd, you know, mm-hmm. want to see a priest. So much I could say, but that's why I write all these books. I put it all in there. So after Mother Teresa died, you know, I mentioned her the other day, how she had a strong devotion to Our Lady and to the Miraculous Medal. She would give them out all over. She gave me several, and this one during that pregnancy. And so I found myself giving out medals all around the world, and then I thought, wow, I think I'm keeping up the tradition of Mother Teresa. And I've given out thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and these could be in just little encounters with a stranger at an airport. A gang member I didn't even know, a murderous gang member I met in a restaurant, he was our waiter. At the end of the meal, I felt I needed to give it to him, I did. And I said, here's Mary, your mother, she'll take care of you. He wrapped his arms around me like a little boy holding onto his mother. He collapsed in my arms and sobbed in front of his peers in the restaurant. I found out the next day he was in a murderous gang. You know, Mary came to, you know, so it's a tangible sign of hope. Mary designed this medal, and it's a sacramental when it's blessed. So it's so many stories. And if I could just quickly tell you Father Hardin's story about it.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. So he's in the book too. He was my spiritual director. Now when the Vincentians priests came to a young priest, Father Hardin said, I wasn't the medal wearing kind of guy. And so he enrolled in it and they sent him the thing and he put it in his breviary, mm-hmm. you know, just kept it there. And he was assigned to a hospital. He made his rounds. One day he came across a boy in a coma for 10 days from a 7-year-old from a sledding accident. He had a fractured skull, inoperable brain damage. And Father Hardin just tried to console the parents. But as he was leaving the room, he says, ah, the miraculous medal. That priest said, it works. So he said, let's put it to the test. So he got a miraculous medal from the sisters there, from the gift shop. And he knew that Mary said she would grant great graces, especially if you wear it around the neck. So he got a ribbon. They couldn't find a chain. They put it around the boy. Mm-hmm. He has the father holding the prayer of investiture. And he said, no sooner did I say the last word of the prayer, the boy opened up his eyes after being in a coma for 10 mm-hmm. days mm-hmm. and said, Ma, I want some ice cream.
Right.
The boy got his ice cream. Mm-hmm. They did a battery of tests. So for 3 days he stayed. He was completely cured of everything. Father Hardin said that miracle changed his life, and he's been, you know, singing the praises of the Blessed Mother and the miracles she performs, he said, as long as we believe. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to tell you that story because it's so powerful. And it's not, you know, it's not like a superstitious thing or hocus pocus. It's a sacramental from our church. Mm-hmm. So I'm very devoted to Our Lady and the Miraculous Medal. And I give, you know, give them out all over. I've given several out on this trip and getting here even in the airport and every, you know, God just inspires. Mary prods me. And she pushes us forth. So it's a good evangelization tool. Yes. You know, everyone can do this if they feel inspired to give it to someone. It could give them so much hope.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I like to pray, hopefully I would do it daily, that the Lord would lead people to me that I could share the Lord Jesus Christ with. And I find a direct correlation between that prayer and actually encountering people. And it really is, it's really a supernatural and providential. And I also ask God to bring people to me that can help me.
Yes.
You know, and so it works that way. So you see this with the this medal.
Yes, absolutely. And it's Mary, you know, coming through with her graces to that person. I mean, my books are filled with these stories, so many things, but I know we have a limited amount of time. But it's just amazing. And I never planned to do it. I didn't get up out of bed that morning and say, I need to hug this woman in the airport who's on the floor, you know, having a nervous breakdown practically with her kids, but I felt like I can't just walk by. So when I gave her the medal, she told, I ended up saying, because she was taking an inhaler and she was crying, I said, may I give you a hug? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. So I hugged her. I wasn't going to tell the story, but just real quick, real quickly, she said, it's just that my mother and my stepmother abandoned me. She needed that mother's hug. Mm-hmm. So I pull out a medal and I say, here's your mother. She'll help you parent your children, your mother, your children. And she said, oh, and I'm Catholic. Like she remembered she was Catholic. Mm-hmm. So it gave her so much hope. So there's so much that Mary does, but she needs us to be willing, you know, to bring her to others, right?
To take that risk and to say, this is something tangible. Like, you can't stay and chat and talk with everybody and do everything.
Exactly.
But it's like, I'm going to leave this with you, you know? And then that lingers so much longer with them, and it's the presence.
They have it, and it's blessed, and they could keep it in their pocket, or they can have it, and they... I've given it to people like going up an escalator. And I mean, just the crazy things. But they wanted it, you know, and they...
So it's an incredible time. I mean, there's so much resistance and sorrow and demonic activity and hardness of heart. But there's so many people who are ready and ripe. You know, the field is white for harvest. If we would but be sensitive to the Lord. And so many, you know, numerous times, you know, I'm praying, like I'm saying, daily for these encounters.
Yes.
But when they begin sometimes, or I see somebody, I don't think anything that's going to happen with this person.
Right. You don't know ahead of time.
But then something, it turns, and it's like, oh, this is one of your children.
Yes.
That you're bringing to me, and you're bringing them here. But it's good to pray, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
And in the morning offering, when you first open your eyes to the new day, it's such a powerful prayer just to give everything to our Lord. And he orchestrates every single thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even just this morning with two other people I sat with, and we all just had this amazing conversation in the having breakfast, and we all said, wow, this was so meant to be. And the priest that was with us said, God orchestrated all of this before we even met each other. So, you know, our Lord, and to call on Our Lady, you know, for that help and that intercession, because she's always leading us to her Son.
Beautiful. Now, so you're telling stories here, especially with the Miraculous Medal. You have stories regarding this year of hope, this pilgrimage of hope. You said you had a personal story regarding your brother. Are you hearing other stories? Because I would imagine there are many stories, because the church has dedicated this year to that purpose.
Yeah.
And they might need, people might not be praying as in-depth as, you know, you're describing prayer. But, you know, God wants to answer prayer and do something to say, this is coinciding with what's going on this year.
Right. There's so much I could say about that, but maybe I could link it to a Miraculous Medal story about this woman who really needed the hope. And during the writing of this book, and it's actually in this book, I came across, well, I was at the hair salon to get a hair trim, and this woman came in, and she goes over to me and says, you're Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. And I always keep a low profile around my own place and stuff. I try to draw attention to myself. She says, oh my gosh, I've seen you on EWTN. I know your story. And I've read your books. Well, anyway, long story short, we both went to our chairs and I felt I needed to give her a Miraculous Medal. So I told my stylist, and I brought it to her. Later, there's a lot to the story, but later she told me how much that meant to her, and she wrote me an email because we exchanged contact. She said, I know that God put you in my life today. And Mother Mary, she said, I left the church I love, the church I love, because she wasn't welcomed when she moved and all this was going on in her life. And she just, people can leave the church over a little thing mm-hmm. or a big thing. Mm-hmm. And we're the mirror of we're the aroma of the church. Wherever we go, God, we're the Catholic Church to so many people. So Mother Mary came through with that medal to that woman. So we've been in touch. I invited her to a retreat I did on the Eucharist. And then finally, I encouraged her. I said, the only thing holding you back, you know, the sacrament of confession. Mm. She says, I want to go back. I feel like God's pulling me back.
Wow.
And guess what? She went to a priest on a Marian feast day, and she came back into the church. Mother Mary interceding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know what would have happened if I didn't give her the medal or whatever. God is in control. It's mm-hmm. not us.
Right.
But Mary interceded. The whole thing unfolded, and it was not coincidence that we went to the same place. And she said, I moved to Connecticut, and I was wondering if I'd ever see you. Mm-hmm. And look what happened. Mm-hmm. So we get up and we get on our knees in the morning. We pray, whatever it is, Lord. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy or like, you know, we don't need to know the end results, but sometimes our Lord shows us.
Right.
So then we can pass it on to others and give them hope, mm-hmm. right?
And that's Absolutely. Part of this journey that we're on. We're all on this pilgrimage of hope, and we want to deepen
yes.
our hope, and then we want to be rays of hope to other people
yes.
to say, I have hope, and I have hope because of Jesus.
Yes.
And I want you to know His Blessed Mother in
yeah.
ways that she could come up alongside you and comfort you and guide you and direct you. And so that you're not a hopeless person or one that is in despair.
We're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment.
Thank you.
Get your best stuff together. You have a few minutes left. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope, Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're wrapping up our conversation with Donna Marie Cooper Arboyle. Now, Donna, you've written other books on our Blessed Mother, but you've written one on the 30 Marian encounters with our Blessed Mother for EWTN. Tell us about
that
book.
Yes, yes. Thank you for asking. And I've written a lot on Mary, Our Lady of Fatima, and different apparitions. And so this one is 30 Marian Eucharistic Visits, Adoring Jesus with His Mother. Because, and it's with EWTN Publishing, because I really felt that we should encourage people to invite Mary along with you. She's always there, but, you know, invite her with you to your times of adoration.
Yeah.
So I wrote 30 reflections on, you know, things. I wish I had it right here in my lap, and I could tell you some of the things from the table of contents. But, you know, learning to adore our Lord with Mary, learning to adore the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or going in haste with Mary,
That's
or
great.
All the different things in Mary's life.
Yeah.
And so I give the adorer, you know, it's their prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you don't have to do what I'm telling you to do, but I'm encouraging, you know, think about this reflection, then I'll talk about something in Mary's life, or, you know, what one of the popes have said, or some reflection
right.
from St. Louis de Montfort or someone.
Yeah.
And then they can read that, and then I give them prayers. I give them lines to write to savor, you know, and graces to pray for, even
mm-hmm.
suggestions of graces to pray for. So the whole idea is to let Mary be with you. Let her perfect your prayers.
Yeah.
You know, let her help you speak to her son.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have been telling me that it's been such a tremendous help during their adoration.
This reminds mm-hmm. me of John Paul II. Speaking about, he wrote a whole document on the rosary, and he really introduced
yes.
this strongly,
mm-hmm.
which I wasn't doing. I was meditating upon, you know, the various mysteries,
yeah.
but he said to do this with Mary,
mm-hmm.
to gaze upon these mysteries
yeah.
with Our Lady, who's there.
Yeah.
And when you do that,
yes.
I mean, it's like, I mean, she was there. She is
yes,
with it.
Yes, yes.
It's so much more, and it's so encouraging to say, I'm really doing this with all life. You're saying the same thing now at adoration, which makes perfect sense.
Right, and you look at her life, and what does she teach us? She teaches us to be attentive. She was always the wedding feast at Cana. She mm-hmm. was the only one who knew they were out of wine. She's loving, generous, and humble, deeply mm-hmm. humble. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary told St. Faustina that she wanted her to imitate her in her great humility. Now, Mary's not trying to draw attention to herself, but remember when Elizabeth praised Mary, she spoke of her lowliness, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the devil cannot work in or through humility. So it's good for us to practice mm-hmm. the virtue of humility and to pray to be more humble because yeah. God works in mm-hmm. and through humble people. Mary teaches us so much.
It's 30, so many things. 30 Marian Eucharistic visits, adoring mm-hmm. Jesus with his mother. So that's it.
Yeah.
Anything else you got going? When I think of you, I think of marriage, the family.
Yeah, I got a lot. Oh, actually, I have a new book coming up. I was going to tell you
I
about another.
That. Mm-hmm. Tell us.
Well, I'm always working on mm-hmm. books. You know, I have so many books, but you know, I can't keep up with myself. God mm-hmm. keeps me, because the whole idea with the apostolate and everything is to just pray and try to help people get to heaven. You know, put the church teaching at their fingertips, right in a conversational way so they can feel like they're sitting down with you. And you know, and that's what the people tell me. And so to bring it to them and to inspire them. And so this book is coming out. It's for grandmothers. Mm-hmm. You're going to get mm-hmm. one of the first copies.
Okay.
It's called Daily Devotions for Grandmothers. Mm-hmm. It's coming out in a couple of months. It'll be the whole year of a daily devotion for the grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is beautiful.
That's coming out because I'm a grandmother now too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, and I
you
am
have
17.
A million.
Yes, but you do. You, I mean, we pray every single day.
Yes.
I have a picture in my Magnificat that we pray every day, and I bless them. Say their name, bless every single one of them, you go through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all over the state. Some mm-hmm. are out of state, and you stay united.
Yes.
Just as the Blessed Mother stays united with us. Mm-hmm. And so, and I could call them, and we're connected.
Yes.
Because I've been participating, I've been yielding
right.
and surrendering and loving them in prayer.
That's right.
As the Blessed Mother does with us. So it's a beautiful formation journey.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And your prayers are so powerful. As mm-hmm. a mother and as a grandmother, mm-hmm. never underestimate those
yeah.
prayers. Even if we don't see things happening, if somebody has strayed away or this or that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You are such a blessing.
Oh,
thank you for all the work that you've done over these many
are.
Years and more to come for the church. And you're so beloved by people here at EWTN and
thank
all
you.
Of our viewers. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger.
I
look
won't.
Forward to having you
I
back on again.
Look forward to coming mm-hmm. down again.
Absolutely. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary, the mother of hope. Awesome.
Yes. Yes.
For this year. And let's be with her, so to speak, in the upper room as we await a fresh and a new Pentecost.
Yes.
She was there.
Mm.
What a delight that must have been for her to be filled with the very yes. divine spirit of God, the one who enabled her mm. to be impregnated and give Jesus her DNA. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.